Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Beneath the drawing of a commercial building, the words Storefront Pictures appear. In the window of the commercial building, a sign reads, "Come in, we're open." Smoke billows from an animated volcano, which then appears in the pupil of an eye. In white over a black background, the words general population appear. Beneath a sky filled with mauve clouds, crisscrossing train tracks stretch out into the distance. A freight train rolls along a track, passing through an industrial area, then through a residential area. Small rundown houses face the tracks. In a bedroom in one of the houses, Deidre, a teenage girl with dark, tightly curled hair, makes a note on a chalkboard calendar while talking on the phone.
You gotta hook me up. I need the answers for chemistry.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
I just need to pass my class.
Okay, so, chemistry.
Yeah, the test is tomorrow.
It's gonna be 30.
You're killing me with these prices.
Well, you know, last minute cost double. Do you want to pass or not? I'm the one that can give you an A.
In a kitchen, she takes a bowl from a boy sitting at a table.
Jet! Come on, no, we're done.
I
don't care. Please get dressed. We have to go.
She shuts off a television, then turns to a curly-haired blonde girl on a couch.
I was watching that.
Yeah, well, I'm still finishing my homework.
Well, I get the TV for 2 hours. That's the rule.
Where are we going?
Christ, Lainey, where are his pants?
Oh, you promised Mommy you were going to pick her up this morning.
You know what? Now I'm tutoring Maverick Bowman in chemistry. And I have an English paper. And I have to finish my scholarship application by Friday.
I can't keep carting her around just because she wrecked her car.
The car's gonna be out of the shop in a few days.
Please, force Jet into some pants and make yourself useful.
All right, bitch.
What did you say?
I just mean I think that tone-wise you can be kind of a bitch.
Her eyes widen. She lunges at Lainey. Jet, a dreadlocked boy wearing a Captain America mask, runs into the kitchen and looks out the window at a passing train. In the living room, Deidre pins Lainey to the floor. Jet runs through the room, then darts outside.
My toys!
Jet, no!
Deidre chases after him. In the front yard, he trips and falls. She grabs him. His face contorts with emotion as the passing train crushes action figures on the tracks. Outside an electronics store, Deidre, Lainey, and Jet pull up in a car. Two police cars pull up. Holding a flat-screen TV over her head, a woman in a store uniform darts outside. Deidre's eyes widen.
Oh, my God. Is that Mom?
You don't want any of it.
Yo, back up.
Put the tasers down. I got this.
Go home, Carlos. Go home.
A police officer sets down his coffee and approaches her.
Oh, hey, let's back up. Let's back up. Let's just put the TV down. Right? Everything's going to be fine.
Nothing is ever going to be fine again.
Back up. We'll fix it, all right? Look, it's me.
No, I can't fix this. This is
The woman, who wears a name tag that reads Goldie, throws the TV to the ground. Two other officers grab her. A young man films the altercation with his phone.
Oh, man.
In slow motion, Deidre and Lainey come running toward them. The word Deidre appears over a freeze-framed image of Deidre. The word and appears on the door of a police car. The word Lainey appears over a freeze-framed image of Lainey. The word Rob appears on a name tag. The letter A appears on Jet's Captain America mask. A small toy train falls to the ground. An officer restrains Deidre and Lainey. Two other officers force a kicking Goldie into a police car. In a prison visiting room, Goldie, Deidre, Lainey, and Jet sit at a table. Caption, 2 weeks later.
So I asked the public defender, why is my mom's veil so high? And he said that goodbye is calling it an act of domestic terrorism.
But they don't think that really. I mean, I think they just get a bigger insurance payment if they call it terrorism.
The public defender said that you're not talking to him.
But he's patient, and he has, like, a lot of other cases to keep him busy.
Would you shut up? We need to get her serious.
We need to get her right. Look at her.
Hey, do you guys know what's great about being in here? I mean, great. I get to choose between kitchen or laundry, one or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta tell you guys, chopping carrots, just...
Goldie makes a repetitive chopping motion with her hand.
It's therapeutic. It's, zen.
That's great.
Yes! Oh, get this. Did you guys know that there's a law in this state that says that they have to serve salad with every single meal when you're in jail? Every meal has a salad. Yeah, salad law.
Do you have a playground?
I do, and you know what? Mommy's doing yoga. I'm surprisingly flexible.
I've always wanted to try.
You know what? Enough. I really hope that you were coming up with a good excuse as to why you went all Rambo on a goodbye store.
And baby, I gotta tell you something. The fact that you are taking such good care of this family while I am away, it makes me feel so relaxed.
Deidre slams her hand on the table.
You know what?
Hey, what's going on over here?
A guard approaches.
Let's go. Jet, get off of Mom's lap. She's incarcerated.
Deidre and Lainey try to pull Jet off Goldie. In her bedroom, Deidre writes Mom's trial on her calendar, then stares at it and shakes her head. At a high school, other students stare at Deidre as she makes her way down the hall. Next to me. Imagine you were just
here. Hey, how's your mom doing?
She rolls her eyes and hurries along. Lainey makes her way up a nearby set of stairs. A teenaged boy bumps into her. She falls and hits her head on the floor. Other students surround her and begin photographing her with their phones. Another student steps over her as he makes his way past. In a classroom, Deidre doodles on a notebook. In the top right corner, beside the words genetic determinism, first period.
Deidre? Deidre? Do you care to join us?
We've
only just missed. Taylor here making the case for genetic determinism by citing that he comes from three generations of people who can smell fear. I'm hoping for a more cogent and scientific argument from you, please.
Deidre rises from her desk.
Free will versus determinism. Free will, is that not the basic requirement for human consciousness? I mean, the fact that humanity continues to make scientific and artistic progress proves that we are not simply repeating choices imposed by genetics or environment.
Well said.
Deidre Tanner, please report to Ms. Spencer's office.
Go ahead.
Deidre Tanner.
So much for free will, right?
Deidre Tanner, my favorite student.
In a guidance counselor's office.
Let me read you something. I want to go to any college that's at least a two-day drive from this goddamn hillbilly town. You wrote that on your college intent form. And you are the one and only senior in your entire class who actually has the grades to do that. So why did you miss 10 days in the last 3 weeks?
I wasn't keeping count.
And what about your scholarship deadline? I had the recommendation letter ready to go. I'm serious.
Deidre shrugs.
Deidre, what do you want to be?
What do I want to be?
Yeah.
You do realize that for thousands of years of human history, the question, what do you want to be, didn't exist. I mean, no Mesopotamian farmer asked the sun, what do you want to be? I mean, you just bead what you were.
Well, you're being stupid. Thinking like that is quicksand, and you know it. Deidre Tanner does not feel stuck. Deidre Tanner feels fierce.
I know you're applying to transfer schools.
Does everyone know that? Okay, yes, that is true. That is true. If I get one student into a college that does not have the word community in the title, I could possibly get to teach at a inner city school that's much nicer than this one. But that does not mean I don't care about the students here at this school. You deserve to get out. We deserve to get out. Do you know what I'm saying? I needed to get desperate.
Deidre rises.
Do you know in prison they serve a salad with every meal? Why don't we have that?
Would you come to school for salad?
She leaves.
I'll bring you a salad. I'll get you any salad you want. What, do you want like a Caesar salad? A chicken salad? Taco salad? She's like a taco salad kind of girl.
In a classroom, Lainey and other teenage girls sit at desks. The girls check their phones. They grin and turn to Lainey, who checks her phone. On it, a photo of her lying on the floor appears over the caption, who wore it best, Lainey or the floor?
Don't look at that.
Phones away?
The teacher glares at Lainey.
Lainey, eye contact.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
I'll answer while she thinks.
A brown-haired girl rises. On a whiteboard are the words, Teen Miss Idaho.
I would choose to meet Mary Tyler Moore because she used her television roles to bring America smart, independent women. And she is why I want to be an actress.
Wow, Claire, that was perfect.
I would meet Taylor Swift.
No way. That was my answer.
No way.
No way.
Lainey?
George Washington?
Claire glares at the other girls.
Shut up.
All right, let's take five. And when I come back, I will announce the finalists.
Lainey, I really liked your George Washington answer. You know what? You're much smarter than all these earheads. Lainey, what's wrong?
I went from being nothing in school to nothing with a crazy mom.
Hey, that's not true. Soon, people are gonna remember how wonderful you are. I promise. Like, how you come to these meetings with me even though I know you hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sorry. Hold on.
Claire checks her phone.
God damn it, Cheryl!
Sometimes I wish my mom would go to jail.
Okay, ladies. The time has come. We have four finalists. Ahem. Number one, could I have a drum roll, please? Just kidding, no drum roll. Katie Lynn. Number two, Darlene. Our third contestant is Claire. And the final contestant is Lainey Tanner. Which is yay. Right? And for the rest of you who did not make it, I still expect you to sell 10 tickets to the pageant, and then maybe you'll have better luck next year. For those of you who are seniors, I'm sorry. It's over for you.
I didn't see you leave.
In the hall, Lainey and Claire.
Congrats on making finalists.
Of course I knew you would, but I mean, we all know I'm a surprise.
Claire refuses to look at Lainey, then slams her locker door closed.
This is cool, right? Lainey, you were supposed to be there and support me through all of this.
I just sat there.
And now what? We're gonna compete against each other? God!
You're crazy. You're about as crazy as your weird mom, if you think this is ever gonna be cool. Okay?
Claire glares at her, then bumps her aside as she leaves. Lainey lowers her eyes. In the kitchen, Deidre sits at the table with a social worker.
Look, as long as there's food, and you or another adult in the house, we're gonna get along.
Great.
But if there is no food and no adult, your siblings are gone.
On the calendar, Deidre writes the words Child Protective Services. Outside, Deidre checks the mail. The words past due, final notice, late payment, and cancellation appear superimposed over the mailbox. In a library, Deidre checks the work of students, then takes cash from them.
Chief Manuelito, Treaty of 1868. It's true, false.
Thanks.
It's HK, not KH. Mm. Nosotros
somos. In her bedroom, Deidre adds up bills, including amounts for her mom's bail and a lawyer. The total is $11,750. In a fast food restaurant, Deidre and a teenaged boy wearing a name tag that reads Jerry.
You don't want to sell weed. You broke up with me for selling.
No, I broke up with you because you have no ambition, but I need a chunk of money fast.
Yeah, well, I don't sell anymore.
Come on, you support yourself here.
Hey, I do stuff.
Really?
I'm an entrepreneur.
Oh, that's fancy.
If you're hurting so bad, why don't you apply for food stamps like a normal person?
Well, food stamps aren't going to get me into college. And I already tried to apply. Turns out my dad used to sell them outside of a Piggly Wiggly when I was a kid. And now the Tanners can't get them.
Whoa.
What?
You got a dad?
Ugh.
Why are you begging me? Hit up the old man.
I'm not gonna... No.
A scruffy blonde man.
Killer boots, kid Blammo. Yeah, should get me some boots like that. They would look good on me. Oop, oop. Watch them nuts.
He cuts a picture out of a wrestling magazine. Deidre.
Sweet pea?
Hi.
What are you...
Dad.
Come inside.
They enter an office in a rail yard.
Oh. You want some?
No.
Oh, and hold on. Got something for you. Maybe a five in there.
He hands her some cash.
So, I mean, no child support since Jet was born, and you only save $13.
Look at this cash. It's not about the month. Look, I am the best dad when it comes to moral support. I am always there when you need me. Gone when you don't.
Yeah, well, we can't eat moral support. Do you still have that truck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Could you sell it?
What? Sell my truck? Why?
Well, no. It's not going to be enough money anyway. This was a dumb idea.
Well, how would
I'm going to go.
Wait. No, Sweepy, don't go. I don't ever get to see you. Come here. What? You want to see your old man on TV?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, come look at this. I was on TV, but they made a video file that fits on my phone. Come here.
No.
No, you got to see this real quick. So I was filling a slot in Salt Lake, and they came to do an interview. It wasn't me, but it was this little
guy. We're here at the Pacific Western Rail train yard, where more than $3 million of merchandise has disappeared over the last couple of months.
Look who's part of the newscast.
This is Detective
Your old man. With the Pacific there he Western is.
Rail Police. Thank you for joining us. So, Mr. Truman.
Laney's dad appears in the background.
Detective Truman, excuse me. Let's talk about what was stolen. There you go.
Wait, so people still rob trains?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do it all the time. It's easy. But not that I personally. Well, see, the companies, they pay for insurance. And then the insurance just reimburses the companies. And then we, as the consumers, we pay like a 10% markup on everything anyway. It covers the theft, so.
So no new information about what was stolen?
Well, rail police? Like, police?
That's what they call themselves. They're just there to cover the company's ass. It's corporate bullshit. Yeah, and the whole yard got sacked down in New Orleans, so Abe's going to transfer down there to fill a slot, which opens up a slot for head mechanic. Guess who's going to slide in there?
He points at himself. She slaps him on the shoulder.
Thanks.
I've got to go.
What? Wait, why? What? I'm going to be head mechanic, babe.
She leaves and makes her way alongside the tracks as a freight train rolls slowly along. She stops and watches it pass, then imagines herself dressed in black aboard the train, standing in an open-air car. Beside the tracks, she furrows her brow, then smiles to herself. Outside her house, Laney opens a shed, then begins digging through a pile of junk inside. She raises a baseball bat, then a hammer, then a garden hoe. She shuts the shed door, then leaves with the hoe. In the jail visiting room, Goldie, Laney, and Jet sit at a table.
A pageant?
I only joined because Claire told me to come with her.
Sorry, Claire?
She's my only friend after...
You have friends?
Nothing good ever happens to me.
Hey! No! Laneybug, you won that geography bee, remember?
That was Deidre.
Yes, it was Deidre, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Hey, did I ever tell you that I was Teen Miss Idaho?
Oh, yeah.
Right when I was your age? I had a crown and a sash and a dress and the whole thing. I felt so special. I even got to audition for Teen Life.
Oh, what's that?
Teen Life, the TV show. It was the reality show of the 90s. Every teenager in the world wanted to be on it, and the producers, they loved me. They said that I was spunky.
What? You didn't do it?
No, couldn't do it. I got pregnant with your sister. Thought I could reach for something more, but
more's not for us.
No, baby, I don't think it is.
Laney nods, then smiles sadly.
Okay. We should go.
Huh?
Come on.
Laneybug?
Bye, Mama.
Laney and Jet leave. Goldie glances about as if confused. At the tracks, Deidre, holding the hoe, watches a freight train roll slowly by. She watches an open-air car approach, then throws the hoe onto the bed. She runs alongside the train, then climbs up onto the bed of the car. She looks over the edge and watches the ground roll past beneath her. She picks up the hoe, approaches a container, then examines the locks that secure the door. She slips the end of the hoe under the lock and tries to pry it open. The end of the hoe slips off the lock. She tumbles backward and nearly falls off the edge of the car. The hoe falls to the ground. She rises to a crouching position and watches the ground roll past. In the kitchen, Lainey pops popcorn in a microwave. The power goes out. The room darkens. Her arms slump to her sides. On the front porch, she hands Jet a bag of popcorn.
Sorry, buddy, it's not much.
He grins. She goes back inside. He furrows his brow, then sets down the bag of popcorn. In the front yard, leaning against a tree, is a cutout photo of a wrestler. He runs toward it, picks it up, then smiles. In her bedroom, Lainey sits on her bed. She picks up a pillow, squeezes it to her chest, then presses her forehead against it. In the yard outside, Lainey sits on a bench. She flips through an album containing photos of her and Deidre as babies and young children. She turns to Deidre as she approaches.
We're out of food and the power's out. I'll add it to my list.
Where were you?
I went to see Chet.
I went to see Mom.
Remember when Chet used to let us ride the trains?
Yeah, stupid.
I got finalists for the Teen Miss Idaho pageant.
I'm gonna rob the train.
Lainey turns to Deidre, tilts her head to the side, then shakes her head.
Well, why did I think you'd care?
I'm not joking. I mean, forget school, Glitter Bunny. Do you know what's going on here?
Yeah, Mom's in jail and you're talking about train robbing.
No, I'm about to give up going to college so that I can get a full-time job to support you and Jet. And even then, I might not make enough.
What about savings? Mom said everything would work out.
Look how we live. Does it seem like things work out for Mom?
What if we lose the house? What if CPS lady comes back and the power is still out? You and Jet would go to foster care.
We would only need a little over 11,000. I mean, that would cover the bills, Mom's bail. She could go back to work and our lives would go back to normal. I mean, you said it. We used to ride the trains when we were kids.
No way.
Wait, what? I tried it myself, and
you,
it didn't...
You what?
Look, I didn't get caught.
Dee!
I didn't get caught. I need somebody to spot me. That's it. I promise I won't let anything happen to you.
No. Just... You can't find someone else?
Who else is gonna help me rob trains?
Lainey shakes her head.
Dee.
Deidre squeezes Lainey's hand. Lainey lowers her eyes, then glances up at the sky. She nods.
Fine. But it's not gonna work, so.
Yes, it is, Glitter Bunny.
They turn and watch a freight train roll slowly past their backyard. With her phone, Deidre photographs train cars.
So, how does one rob a train? Well, there are dozens of different cars, like grain cars, oil cars, box cars. The goods we want travel in containers on flat cars. But the container doors are locked with steel bolts. We'll need something strong enough to cut through them.
In the shed, Deidre raises a pair of bolt cutters. In a hallway at the jail, Goldie lifts the receiver on a payphone and brings it to her ear.
The shippers might figure out that a container's been opened, but with 138,000 miles of track in the U.S., they'll never know where the break-in happened.
Deidre and Lainey make a poster with the heading Train Rules, which include wear tennis shoes, always wear gloves, only work at night, have a getaway plan, if you get caught, don't snitch, and deny till you die. They high-five Goldie on the phone.
We will only work at night, when there are fewer workers and the neighbors are asleep. We board the train half a mile from our house. We have 20 minutes before we hit the yard. 10 minutes to open the container, 5 to pick boxes, and 3 to push the boxes off.
With her phone, Lainey films Deidre, who falls, trying to climb aboard a flat car. Deidre rises to her feet and slaps the phone out of Lainey's hand.
It's funny, right?
Lainey picks up the phone, then steps toward the flat car. She mimics Deidre trying to climb onto it. Deidre lunges at her.
Oh my God, I hate you!
The train stops for 2 minutes before it goes into the yard. When we see Mr. Bear, that's our last chance to get off.
Goldie on the phone. She hangs up. The sun sets over Idaho. Outside a chain link fence at night, Deidre and Lainey.
Hey, wait. Are you sure about this?
Sure about what? Oh, you mean the robbery that we've been planning all week? Yeah, I'm sure about it.
Okay, but wait, planning it is one thing, but actually doing it?
Lainey, we are going to rob a train, okay? Do you want to bail Mom out? Because this is how we're going to do it.
Deidre turns and leaves. Lainey follows her.
Hey, isn't that one of Jet's toys?
A cutout of a wrestler.
He knows he's not supposed to play over here.
That's ironic.
You know what?
Ow! God!
They turn toward the approaching train. They run alongside the train as it rolls slowly down the tracks. Deidre climbs aboard a flat car and then pulls Lainey up. Deidre approaches the locked container.
Lainey, come hold this!
Okay.
Lainey holds a flashlight as Deidre wraps bolt cutters around the lock.
Ready? Okay.
The girls each grab a leg of the bolt cutters and push them together. They cut the lock. Deidre opens the door to the container and steps inside. Lainey steps in behind her. Their faces split into grins as they shine the flashlight on stacked shipping crates and boxes.
I guess we start at the front?
Deidre produces an X-Acto knife, then a cleaver. Lainey raises a pair of safety scissors. They cut open boxes. Outside the container, they shove the boxes off the car onto the ground.
I got it.
Hope that wasn't expensive.
I hope it was.
Deidre spots a teddy bear on the ground.
Oh, 2 minute marker.
A police car.
Oh, shit! What's it? Oh! It's a cop!
The car waits at a railway crossing.
Lainey, shh!
The officer steps from the vehicle.
Go, go, go! We gotta split up! Go!
Deidre shoves Lainey, who hops off the car onto the ground. Deidre hides in the container. The train comes to a stop. Carrying a flashlight, the officer approaches. In a ditch alongside the tracks lies a rusted shopping cart covered in cushions. Lainey ducks behind it. From the bed of the flat car, the officer shines his flashlight at the cart. He turns away, then approaches the container and refastens the door handle. Inside the container, Deidre hides behind a pile of styrofoam pellets. Outside, the officer scans his surroundings with his flashlight, then steps down off the car. The train continues into the yard. Lainey continues to crouch behind the cart. The crossing gate rises. Lainey lifts her head, glances around, then rises to her feet. On a TV in the yard office, a shadowy image of Lainey appears on the screen. The TV sits on a desk. The chair before it is empty. In the yard, Lainey climbs onto the flat car, approaches the container, and opens the door. She steps inside and scans the interior with her flashlight. Deidre pokes her head up out of a box.
Are you okay?
She climbs out of the box.
Are
They leave the container. In the yard, a yard worker scans his surroundings with a flashlight. Deidre and Lainey peek out from atop the flat car and watch him as he passes. They jump down off the car and run. The cutout of the wrestler falls out of Lainey's pocket onto the ground. On the TV in the yard office, Deidre and Lainey appear on the screen, running. Along the tracks, Deidre and Lainey carry a box. They dump the box over the chain link fence.
Oh shit, get down! Oh shit.
They duck.
Remember when you pushed me off the train? Remember when I made you carry freight boxes back to the house?
Towels, 3 microwaves, and...
In the living room, Jet looks on as they open boxes.
James!
This is Deidre, straight A queen. This is G-Don. Wally.
Outside the fast food restaurant, Jerry, G-Don, and Wally look on as Deidre pops the trunk of her car.
Check it out.
Wally looks at the goods in her trunk.
Where'd you get all this?
Do you want this stuff or not, Mr. Entrepreneur?
Socks? Man, what the hell are we gonna do with socks?
Well, there's other stuff, too.
Laundry detergent.
Wally grins.
What? That's just expensive.
Jerry turns to G-Don, who shrugs. Jerry hesitates for a moment, looks in the trunk, then turns to Deidre, who raises her eyebrows at him. He smirks.
All right.
Inside, Jerry opens the cash register. In the hallway at school, Lainey flinches as Claire slams a locker door beside her. In the etiquette classroom, Lainey and the teacher sit at a set table.
I am not letting you drop out. No slouching.
Why? I mean, you've seen me during Q&A. People are staring at me and get all hot and my brain turns to cat food.
Cat food? Sweetie, you were never supposed to make finalist. But a girl in Lakewood dropped out because she was pregnant and the judges said I could choose whoever I wanted, and so here you are.
Why me? There are tons of other not pregnant girls.
I could see you needed it the most. Believe it or not, I was once like you. Shy, constantly embarrassed. And then I realized I wasn't shy at all. I was just out of place. I was a Princess Kate living in a Kardashian world.
I'm... just a tanner.
We'll see about that. Handle. 4 fingers down, pinky up. Like a lady.
In the hallway.
You said you would call. What happened?
Deidre shows Lainey money.
So, tonight? Again? Do you have something better to do?
No.
On a flat car at night, Deidre looks on as Lainey cuts the lock off a container with bolt cutters. Inside the container, they look at a pile of boxes. At the fast food restaurant, Jerry takes cash from the register and hands it to a grinning Deidre. In the kitchen, Lainey sits at the table writing a check to the County Electric Company for $200.20. She hands it to Lainey, who signs it. Deidre puts the check in an envelope. In a container at night, Deidre and Lainey grin at one another. In the kitchen, the social worker looks on as Deidre opens a cupboard full of food. In the living room, Deidre hands Jet a box containing a wrestler action figure. Jet grins, then leaves. In her room, Deidre crosses out one of the bills listed on her chalkboard calendar. She turns to Lainey, who raises a thermostat-like marker on a poster that reads, Goldie Fund. The marker lists dollar amounts running vertically upward from $0 to $8,000 in $1,000 increments. In the container at night, Lainey scans barcodes on boxes with her cell phone.
Spiral notebooks?
No.
Sleeping bags?
She turns to Deidre.
Maybe. Yeah. So, there's this pageant dress rehearsal next week at school, and they're inviting parents, and I was wondering if maybe you wanna come. Ugh, hell no, that sounds terrible.
Yeah,
it will be. You know, why do you care about this passion stuff? I mean, we have bigger things to deal with.
Well, I tried to drop out because Claire's super pissed, but Miss Fowler won't let
Claire?
Me.
Claire? Who is that?
Claire, my best friend, you know? I have friends.
Man, get back at her by winning.
Funny.
Why is that funny?
You say winning like it's not hard.
I mean, is it though? I'm talking about a human dog show.
Well, Mom was Team Miss Idaho.
She was going to be a reality TV star, but then she had us and her life went to crap.
Wait a minute. Whoa, wait. What?
Her point being that I am nobody because I am meant to be nobody and there's no use in trying.
So she gets herself nowhere and now she blames us?
Lainey lowers her eyes.
You know what? You are not nobody. You are a badass who robs trains. You're my Sundance kid.
Lainey nods.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bring it in. Just like that. Now come over here and help me. Oh.
During the day, a 50-ish man with slick back hair, sunglasses, a collared t-shirt with the initials PWR on it, and a badge and handcuffs on his belt, walks along the tracks, smoking a vaporizer. He pauses, scans his surroundings, then takes a Polaroid of the teddy bear. He steps forward and picks up the teddy bear. In the yard, the PWR officer holds a cell phone to his ear while standing on the bed of a flat car.
I know screw-ups like last time.
I thought he was my suspect. Night watchmen should wear brightly colored uniforms.
Well, you're teaming with local PD.
Oh, well, that's very helpful. Thank you very much.
He hangs up.
Hey!
Chet approaches.
I know you. We're on TV together. What you up to, buddy?
Trying to think of a small word that means ignoramus.
Chet taps his fingers on the bed of the flat car and shrugs.
All right, then.
He leaves. The officer hops down off the flat car and spots the cutout of the wrestler on the ground. He picks it up and stares at it. He takes a long pull on his vaporizer. In the jail visiting room, Goldie and Deidre sit at a table.
You told her not to even try. Have you met your daughter? She can barely order pizza over the phone.
Deidre, I didn't.
Yes, you did. What if this is something that she needed? You said that we ruined your life?
What? No, Deidre, that is not what
I meant.
You know
what? I am going to take care of Lainey now.
Deidre rises and leaves. In her office, the guidance counselor watches footage of Deidre and Lainey robbing the train. The PWR officer and a police officer with a name tag that reads McMillan look on.
Right there.
The height, the build, the energy, these are obviously teenagers, and they're probably mine.
Or maybe they could be very short adults. Everything of that there, Mr. Truman?
Detective Truman. And I know the difference between teenagers and midgets.
Don't say that word. Nobody says that word anymore.
I understand the students in this school ascend to a particular level of miscreancy.
They're not my students. I mean, I'm transferring to a better school as soon as I get all the college applications.
Trust me, I'm as embarrassed to be in this godforsaken burg as you are. I am Pacific Western Railroad's top investigator. I never partner with local PD.
I never babysit rent-a-cops. New experience for both of us, I guess.
I typically take down organized criminal syndicates. I do not want to be investigating teenagers. Now, I know that you're going to feel the need to protect your students, but any information you have that could make this investigation go faster would be appreciated by me, my railroad, and the United States government.
In her bedroom, Deidre raises the marker on the Goldie Fund poster to $6,000. She turns and looks at the calendar. On the 18th of March, a circled note reads, "Scholarship application due, urgent." She stares at the calendar for a moment, then turns to stacks of cash lying on a vanity behind her. She furrows her brow. She turns to the Goldie Fund poster and moves the marker back down to $4,000. She takes a stack of bills off the vanity, rolls it into a tube, and hides it under one of the drawers of the vanity. She looks at herself in the vanity mirror and sighs. In the hallway at the high school, the guidance counselor approaches three teenage girls who stand in front of a row of lockers.
Excuse me, ladies. Have you seen Deidre Tanner?
They shake their heads.
Has anyone seen Deidre Tanner? Okay. Mr. Morrissey, have you seen Deidre Tanner?
I don't think she's been in class all week.
On a flat car at night, Deidre and Lainey try to break open a container.
Hey, the light!
Lainey shines the flashlight at the ground.
Where's Mr. Bear?
The train approaches a video camera mounted to a pole alongside the tracks.
There's cameras!
No! Lainey! Oh.
They hop down off the car and run. In their living room, Deidre and Lainey.
Those cameras weren't there yesterday. So what? It's not like anybody watches them.
They both turn toward the door, then to one another.
I don't know. Just answer the door. Answer the door.
Deidre picks up the bolt cutters.
We'll be fine. Just I...
What are you going to do with that?
If you don't answer the door, I swear to God.
Lainey opens the door. The guidance counselor.
Hey there.
Hey there. I'm looking for Deidre.
I'm not here. She's not here right now.
She's not here.
Nope.
She mouths the words, she's right here.
Like right here?
Lainey!
Deidre, get your things. We're going to school.
The guidance counselor scans the living room, which is filled with boxes. Her eyes widen. She turns to Deidre.
Now is not a good time.
I cannot believe you did this.
I can't believe that one day random cells started to divide and form complex organisms, but it happened.
Is it just you and your sister? Is this a trend? Are there more people? Who is it?
Nobody. I'll guarantee that.
I'm gonna have to tell Principal Wagner.
No, no, no.
We're on a zero tolerance policy.
No, you don't have to tell.
I do have to tell. There was a Pacific Western Rail cop in my office 2 days ago looking for teenage train robbers.
I was just doing what you said.
What I said?
You told me to get desperate so that I could bail my mom out and come back to school.
That is not what I meant.
Well, now college is back on the table. I mean, rolling deadlines are still open, and I'm actually saving money for my first semester. I can apply to any college you want.
Even the Ivies? No, why am I even considering this? No, you are a thief and an extortionist.
You know, if I go to jail, your valedictorian is going to be Stacy Albert.
Oh, God.
The girl wants to major in domestic engineering. She'll bring up cast iron cookware in her speech.
In her office, the guidance counselor furrows her brow at Deidre.
Deal. Oh, now I'm an accomplice.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Tell me about this train cop.
And finally, we can never invest too much in pre-K education.
Way to go, Claire. Excellent answer. Lainey, you're next.
Lainey and Claire in gowns.
Oh, wow, that's a really nice dress. Did your mom make that in the prison sweatshop?
Lainey, name your favorite school holiday and why.
My favorite school holiday is Columbus Day. Because we wouldn't be here without Columbus. Unless you're Indian Native American, then...
Martin Luther King Day. Duh.
Okay, well, most of your answers blew me away. Ladies, that signifies the end of rehearsal.
Lainey scowls and steps forward. Claire trips her. She falls and smacks her face on the stage. With a bloody nose, she turns and looks up at Claire. In an office at the rail yard, Chet and a bearded man...
I already told my kid.
With the cop poking around, I can't promote someone with a record.
I'm not the one stealing this time.
Yeah, go. Yeah, he dropped a traction motor on his toe?
That's what happens when you promote the wrong people.
I'm coming right down. Just a sec. Next time it comes around.
It may not be next time.
The bearded man leaves.
Mr. Bear? What are you doing here?
In the school gym.
Good afternoon. My name is Victor Truman, and I have been deployed here by the Pacific Western Railroad Company to enlighten all of you as to the lethal dangers of rail traffic.
Walking along the tracks, Lainey reads a brochure about the dangers of rail traffic. On a sidewalk, Deidre approaches and snatches the brochure out of Lainey's hands.
What the hell is this?
I don't know. Some guy came into school today and gave us a speech.
Oh my God, this is disgusting.
What do you think it means? Do you think they know?
No. No, no, of course not. I mean, they have that every year. I had to sit through it last year. The health teacher has a stack of those on his desk next to the bowl of condoms.
I've never heard of
this. Well, you don't pay very much attention in school.
I'm just saying, maybe something to think about.
What is?
Packing up shop, bringing mom home. I feel like we're not getting enough money out of this.
No, we're not.
A car in front of their house.
Oh, shit. It's CPS day. Lainey, we're supposed to be home.
You were supposed to be home.
They rush into the house. The boxes are no longer in the living room. They enter the kitchen. Jet, Chet, and the social worker sit at the table.
Oh, my God.
Hey, don't be so dramatic, honey. Like, you know, every time that Uncle Dennis comes in and does a little housework, they act like they've seen Bigfoot.
You are just
No Sasquatch here. More pancakes?
You know, I probably will. You are going to make an excellent husband someday.
Oh, thank you.
Outside.
Well, Gloria,
kind of hate to see you go.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. No, all these kids running around, it's nice to have an adult conversation.
Oh, I'm an adult.
Just barely.
Barely legal. Oh, so are you going to be here next week?
Well, I'm hoping so. Will you?
It's a date.
Okay.
Well, you know, a court-ordered meeting.
For a date.
Oh.
Oh, you got a little syrup. Oh. I got it.
Thanks.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
Chet waves as the social worker leaves in her car. He turns to Deidre, Jet, and Lainey.
Chet, what are you doing here?
Chet goes into the backyard.
Chet?
They follow him.
Chet, what are you doing here? Chet, no, don't!
Wait!
Well,
look at what we have here!
You know what, I'll give you 1 point for organization, that little thermometer chart, that's a nice touch. -3 points for your dumb shittery. What are you thinking?
The boxes are stacked against the house.
These can't be here. Any Joe Piss can wander down the street and look back here and you're looking at county lockup, 3 years minimum.
Chet, you can't be here legally.
We'll burn these. It's the best way to destroy the evidence, but do not tell your mother.
What if that CPS lady figures out who you really are? I mean, what if she sees your record?
Manifest destiny. A man has a right to protect his family regardless of the law.
That is not manifest destiny.
You know something? Your Uncle Dennis did a little recognizance. Turns out old Gloria, she has over 200 cases in this county alone. So she ain't gonna be looking me up. Honey, come give me a hand with this one.
No, don't do that. I can handle this myself.
Oh, can you? Okay. Tell me something, how's that cop gonna run his investigation?
Cop?
You don't know.
Oh, my God.
You don't know. But I do because I've been investigated many times. You girls know how you got caught?
The dude from school?
Nope. On the bottom of each shipping container, there's a sticker.
Oh.
And on the sticker, there's a barcode. Now, that barcode matches the shipping manifest. So when you open the container, it rips the sticker, destroys the barcode, so it can't be scanned at the next checkpoint.
An investigation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and,
A photo on his cell phone.
Recognize him? Mr. Bear? I gave you Mr. Bear at your 8th birthday party. Right before your mom kicked me out when my dealer ate the cake.
Could you just stay? Come, Lainey. No.
I ain't got nowhere to go.
A cop?
Lainey drags Deidre inside.
Spencer told me on Monday, but it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Our felon father is in the backyard.
Look, I will try to get rid of Chet.
No.
Okay?
No, he knows. We have to stop.
No, look, this is Chet. Okay, he will probably get bored and go home tomorrow.
The fast food restaurant.
We told you not to bring anyone.
He promised he would be quiet.
Deidre, Chet, Wally, and Jerry.
Still trying to move the backpacks.
Backpacks?
What?
No. What is this, Walmart?
Chet, shut up.
What's our cut?
40%.
40%, no, that's highway robbery.
That's exactly what this is.
We need to make money too, all right? I'm saving up for the Culinary Institute.
I like your style, but listen to this. What if I can guarantee you electronics? Cosmetics, I'm talking name brands.
You can't do that.
I can do that.
No.
Yep, I can. You give my girl 60% here.
60?
60%, and you'll be graduating from the French toast to the brioche.
We can't do that.
We can do that. Do we have a deal?
Chet points a finger at Wally and Jerry. Deidre rises and leaves. Jerry watches Deidre leave, then turns to Chet.
60%.
60%.
Name brands.
Name brands.
Electronics.
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 Electronics. You got a deal.
Woo! Chet steps outside and approaches Deidre, standing at her car.
I did not need you to speak for me.
Why? I'll just log some hours at the switching station. That way we know exactly what's coming in.
Everything that we have right now, I got myself. Without you or Mom.
Of course you did. But that's because of me too. Look, honey, we're the same chunks of DNA. We run around influencing each other's actions.
Yeah. I was a mess when you were little.
Yeah.
That helped you to learn for yourself.
Are you seriously trying to take credit for all of my hard work and success?
No. I'm just saying that you finally need my help for something that I'm good at.
He smirks. She furrows her brow and looks away.
I was thinking.
Yeah?
About the stickers?
Stickers, yeah.
If you swipe the shipping manifest, I could print new stickers in the computer lab.
Yes! Yes, see? That is a Tanner Ingenuity. Let's go.
I don't have the keys.
Got them.
He tosses her the keys. In the rail yard, Chet uses an aerosol can to spray an invisible X on a shipping container. At night, Deidre shines an ultraviolet light on shipping containers. An X appears on one of them. Lainey and Deidre enter the container and approach a stack of boxes with a Pear logo on them. They cut open the boxes. Inside are smartphones. They both grin. Outside the container, Deidre replaces a torn barcode sticker over the door with a new one. In her bedroom, Deidre puts two thick stacks of cash into a bag. She hides a third stack under the vanity drawer. In the bedroom, Lainey stands staring at the Goldie Fund poster. The marker reads $5,000. She crosses her arms and tilts her head to the side. In an office at the rail yard, Truman on the phone.
None of the seals were broken.
Then why am I missing three TVs and a case of cell phones? You said that you would have this done in a week.
Yes, I know I did, but I cannot figure this out snooping around a school with a pacifist cop and a counselor who clearly needs to be on medication. Please give me back my gun.
Are you serious? After what happened in Arizona, you are lucky I'd let you carry a flashlight.
Yes, I know. I got the memo.
The jail visiting room.
Goldie, you look 10 years younger and 20 years finer. If the table wasn't here, I'd put another baby in you.
What are you doing living with my kids?
Our kids. Because I'm the best dad in the world. I'm there when you need me, I'm gone when you don't.
We don't. They don't.
Listen. There's a big debt still there. And only you can fix that debt. Only you can heal that debt of the heart.
Why am I so attracted to you?
I wonder. I keep looking at that.
She reaches her hand out toward his. They lace their fingers together.
Your nails look nice.
Thank you. They do them in here. Can I just...
Do a good job.
Jim.
Yeah.
I hate you so much.
I hate you, too.
I hate you so much.
I hate you more.
They lunge at one another and kiss.
I hate you so much, Jim.
Guard! Oh!
The guard approaches.
Okay, that's it! Oh, baby. Break it up! Break it, Bobby! Break it, Bobby!
Two guards separate them. Chet pounces on her again and kisses her. In her office, the guidance counselor, McMillan, and Truman.
Overnight, this operation has gone from erratic to the most sophisticated I've seen in my career. So our investigation has to evolve. I'm going to start interviewing students. Anyone who lives within a 5-mile perimeter of that train yard gets interviewed by me.
In the rail yard repair shop, Chet watches as the bearded man and three other men look over a shipping manifest. In her office, the guidance counselor sends a text to Deidre that reads, "We have a problem." In the living room, Lainey sits on the couch doing homework. Deidre enters and turns to her.
We are so screwed.
Chet enters.
We're going to be so rich.
I'm confused.
At the kitchen table.
Federal Mint.
The Federal Mint has a car? Like, to ship money?
Yeah, but it's rare, and guys like me never know which train it's in.
This is a great opportunity.
Listen, I'm my pageant.
Lainey!
Do you care about this at all?
Yeah.
I mean, Train Dude is bringing us in for questioning tomorrow.
I know. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, what are you gonna say when Train Dude starts questioning you?
What are you gonna do, Lainey?
No! Cops see ums as confessions. No ums.
Eye contact or jail? Answers or jail?
Lainey shrugs and shakes her head.
Well, would you stop being a baby?
Lainey rises and storms out of the room.
Oh.
Deidre follows her into the bedroom.
What is your problem, Glitter Bunny? Chet's supposed to leave, right? No, he stays. And the Federal Mint car. This is too much. This is like real crime.
Shut up.
You rob trains too, so you need to stop whining. Stop it!
Lainey slams her hand down on the vanity. An envelope falls out from under the drawer. Lainey picks it up.
I knew there was money missing. What the hell? What is this?
Keep your voice down.
You're taking money?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be going towards getting Mom home!
You know what? We don't have to stop at Mom's bail. I can make enough money so that I can go to college. I can pay for my first semester.
That wasn't the plan.
This is my plan, all right?
Of course
it is. Why can't you see the bigger picture here?
Because I'm not you!
Yeah, you are, all right? You're a Tanner, too. We're all part of the same shitty chunks of DNA!
Lainey leaves, slams the door, and leans against it. Her lips tremble. In the room, Deidre lowers her eyes. In the hall, Lainey's expression darkens.
Fine.
She leaves. In the room, Deidre sits and stares. In the guidance counselor's office, McMillan looks on as Truman interrogates Lainey.
It says here that your home is in close proximity to the Pacific Western Railroad train yard. Is that correct?
Yeah. But I don't like trains. They're loud and dangerous.
Claire.
One time this really gross hobo hit on me at the Tiger Mart. I think he hopped trains.
Wally.
You got a problem with a second year senior? I got perfect attendance.
Chelsea Rich has this new iPhone, but everyone knows her dad was fired from the Hershey's factory. So people said she blew Nicholas Bertelsen for it. But Nicholas doesn't have a job, so where did he get it?
Truman and McMillan stare at Darlene. McMillan looks on as Truman interrogates Deidre.
Wait a second. You're the valedictorian?
I will be, in May.
Why are we interviewing the valedictorian? What's next, the frigging glee club?
You're a list man.
In the pageant rehearsal room, Lainey approaches a rack of gowns and garment bags. She unzips a bag. Inside is Claire's gown. She sneers, then tears a seam from the hemline to the waist. She re-zips the bag, then leaves. In the hallway, Deidre approaches her locker, where the guidance counselor stands waiting for her.
So, what do you ask here?
Nothing, really.
Nothing?
No, nothing. Lainey!
Lainey ignores her sister as she passes by her.
I'm sorry, I've gotta go.
Deidre!
Holding her torn dress, Claire approaches the guidance counselor. In the school parking lot, Truman approaches a teenage couple kissing and takes a Polaroid of them.
STDs. STDs!
He approaches Jet, who sits on the trunk of Deidre's car holding cutouts of wrestlers.
Hey there. I like your toys.
He takes a Polaroid of Jet.
Deidre! Jet? Deidre!
Just a photograph. We're all good. Valedictorian.
Hey, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did he ask you anything?
No.
No? He didn't ask you about trains?
No.
Deidre follows Truman with her eyes. In his car, Truman sits, smoking his vaporizer while staring at the Polaroid of Jet. His face splits into a grin. In the kitchen, Deidre sits, typing on a laptop. A news footage video appears on the screen.
Now to talk about this is Detective Vic Truman. He is with the Pacific Western Rail Police. Thank you for joining us. So, Mr. Truman, let's start with
Detective Truman.
Let's talk about what was stolen.
She types advanced search, PWR.com. Words appear. Victor Truman, court records. Truman suspended after train yard debacle. Truman fights allegation in court. She finds the court records online. Truman was charged with endangerment of a citizen by pulling a firearm. A witness statement cites Truman's use of unnecessary force and describes him as a loose cannon. Under the heading probation eligibility, a document reads, psychological evaluation required. In her bedroom at night, Deidre sits at the vanity counting cash. She looks out the window and watches Lainey leave wearing a flashlight headband. Lainey glances around, making her way through the backyard, then along the railroad tracks. In a storage room, Lainey sits atop a stack of boxes, examining a pump with a 4-inch heel.
What the hell?
At the school, Lainey makes her way down the hallway wearing the high-heeled pumps, patterned tights, and a pink tank top. Two teenage boys stare at her as she passes. One of them bites the knuckle of his index finger. Lainey winks at him. She turns to two other boys who stand by a window and blows a kiss at one of them. He smirks and leers at her. She grins. In a field by the tracks, Lainey and Chet burn boxes in a barrel. They high-five. Outside the fast food restaurant, Jerry and Deidre sit on a picnic table.
You got enough for your mom?
More than enough. Thank you.
You know, sometimes, and I'm not saying this to dig at you, but you act like you're too good for us.
You're freaking shady gangsters.
Shady?
Yeah.
What do you think we do? G's auntie taught us how to sell your crap on eBay. We use my grandma's attic for storage. Dee, you showed up here all judgmental, so I started spewing that entrepreneur crap. And I think you actually bring boxes of junk.
So you wouldn't have done this if not for me?
Yeah. So now act like this is some hostage situation.
I'm not acting like it's a hostage
situation. Go to college. Have a life.
Chet, Wally, G-Don, Jet, and Lainey exit the restaurant.
I'm so sorry I pulled you into this.
I'm sorry I let you.
Chet, Lainey, and Jet climb into Deidre's car.
I gotta go. I'm sorry.
She rises and makes her way toward the car. In her bedroom, Deidre sits at the vanity. She puts an envelope into a drawer, closes it, then stares up at the ceiling. She opens the drawer, takes out the envelope, then rises and leaves. In the kitchen, Deidre sits at the table, counting cash. Chet and Jet enter.
So that guy's definitely going to kick that guy's butt. Whoa! Well, that's a big hunk of change. Where are you headed, sweet pea?
To the bond company to bail Mom out. I want you gone when I get back.
Come on, I thought I was going to help you hit that mint car.
No.
She leaves.
What?
Outside, Chet and Jet.
I'm going to grab another cold beer. You want one?
No, I'm good.
Jet plays with his action figures. Chet leaves, then returns with another beer.
Oh, nice. Got him. So who's beating who?
Uncle Dennis.
Hey, Gloria. There she is, the woman of my dreams.
Don't sweet talk me. Why didn't you tell me you were their father? Chet Tanner?
Yeah, that's my Christian name.
Oh, honey, you're no Christian.
Where's
his real guardian?
Oh, indeed, yeah, she's right over here. Let me go get her. Come on, let's go find your sister. Okay. I think she's making toaster strudels.
Chet and Jet head inside. The social worker looks into the carport, then turns around and watches Chet leave in his truck.
Damn it! I thought he was the one.
She slams her purse against the house. In the jail visiting room, Deidre and Goldie.
I paid your bail. They'll release you in the morning. Just prepare for the trial, because I went through so much to get you out.
Oh, baby, what did you do?
No, this family just ruins each other, all right?
Stop.
No, stop!
Deidre turns to leave.
Deidre Josephine Tanner, turn your ass around and set it down.
Goldie glances up at Deidre, who glares at her for a moment, then sits back down at the table.
I never, never meant to say that you ruined my life. Baby, I'm in here because I ruined yours. Honey, some people,
a lot of people, they said that I lost my one big shot. But not me.
Mm-mm. I didn't regret having you, not for 1 minute, not for 1 second. And that's why I saved every single dime from my Teen Miss Idaho grand prize, $10,000, and I put it in a savings account for you, for college. And no matter what happened, every single week I added to it.
At a mailbox, Goldie, wearing an electronic store uniform, opens a bank statement. The balance reads $14,496. She smiles. At the front door of the house at night, Goldie enters carrying two bags of groceries. Texting on her phone, Deidre passes by her without looking up and leaves. At the front door of the house at night, Goldie enters carrying a bag of groceries and a pizza. She smiles at Deidre, who takes a slice and leaves. Goldie's smile dissipates. At the front door of the house at night, Goldie enters carrying a stack of mail and turns to Deidre and Lainey fighting on the couch. Goldie glares at them and points toward their rooms. They leave. Goldie sits down on the couch and opens a bank statement. The balance reads $20,104. She smiles, then yawns. She closes her eyes. A steering wheel appears before her, then a flash of light. Her eyes snap open. She sits behind the wheel of a car, the front end of which is wedged against the driver's side of another.
Will you still be here?
She winces and rubs her neck. The windshield in front of her is cracked. Steam rises up from the hoods of the two vehicles. At the electronics store, Goldie opens a bank statement. The balance reads minus $35.
The bills from the crash piled up. I was spread too thin, and I lost everything.
Her eyes fill with tears. She hurls the statement to the showroom floor, then looks up at a TV that plays a show called Pregnant House. At a kitchen table, three young women vomit into buckets. Goldie produces a remote control and tries to turn off the program. The show is playing on every TV in the store. She points the remote at TV after TV, none of which turn off. She shoves over a display case.
Not doing better for me. That didn't matter.
She picks up a TV and raises it over her head.
But not doing better for you?
In the jail visiting room, Goldie's face contorts with emotion.
That's what hurt.
They smile sadly at one another.
Thank you.
Goldie holds out her hands. Deidre takes them in hers. In an office at the rail yard, Truman sits at a desk staring at a Polaroid.
Hey, buddy.
McMillan enters.
Hey, is that Deidre?
What's going on?
Didn't I tell you?
No.
I finally cracked my case.
In her office, the guidance counselor drinks wine.
Hello?
Puna. Thank God. Listen, I need to know where the Tanner girls are.
I hate to tell you this, but they might be train robbers.
I know.
Thank God you know.
Okay, so where are they?
Okay, they are... They're at the pageant.
Outside the jail, Deidre receives a text message from the guidance counselor that reads, Truman's gonna arrest Lainey. Get down to the pageant.
Oh, shit.
Outside a ballroom, a sign reads, Welcome to Teen Miss Idaho. Inside, teenage girls in evening gowns sign in at a table. McMillan turns to one of them. Backstage, Miss Fallard approaches Lainey, who wears a turquoise evening gown.
Hey, you.
Hi.
You ready?
Yeah. I think so.
I am so proud of how far you have come. I took this little shadow of a girl, and I turned you into a princess. You are a princess who shines brighter than the sun. Your princess star. Want to hear you say it?
Say it. I am a princess star.
Hey, you got this. You can win this whole thing. All right, what are you waiting for? Get out there.
Oh, I, okay, thank you.
Hey, watch.
On stage, an MC with four teenage girls in evening gowns.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's going to make a great governor one day. Thank you so much. And ladies, thank you for being in this part of the show. We'll be seeing you a little bit later.
The girls step off stage.
And we're introducing the next group of our contestants coming out on the stage, these lovely ladies. Would you take us some help?
Chet and Jet sit in the audience.
Hey, don't move until your sister comes to get you, okay?
Where are you going?
Just gotta go outside for some air.
Can I go with you?
No, I wish you could, but no. I gotta get that air outside on my own.
You can take Kid Blammo.
What?
Jet hands him an action figure.
Look, can you tell your sisters that I said... Hey.
Chet leaves. Backstage, Miss Fallard and a blonde woman.
I was teamed beside her. Well, fourth runner up, 1997.
Truman enters.
Hello. Hello, sir. Can I help you?
I'm good, sweetheart.
I'm sorry. Sir, you cannot go back there. Sir? Sir, please stop.
Deidre.
The lobby.
Listen, Truman knows about the trains.
I know, but I've got to get to Wayne.
On stage.
Thank you for joining us. Contestant number one, are you ready for your question?
Lainey steps awkwardly toward the MC.
Thank you. If you could meet any person, living or dead, who would you choose and why? Miss Tanner?
Lainey lowers her eyes, turns to a smiling Claire, then looks toward the audience and smiles.
Mary Tyler Moore, because she's done so much to bring modern women to the media, and she's the reason I want to be an actress.
That's my answer.
Claire lunges at Lainey and shoves her to the floor. Lainey kicks Claire's feet out from under her. Claire falls on her back, then rises, pounces on Lainey, and chokes her.
You ruined my dress and you ruined my life!
Lainey rolls on top of Claire and chokes her.
You think your life is hard? You have no fucking clue!
Lainey!
In the audience, Deidre runs toward the stage. Lainey turns to her. Truman steps onto the stage.
All right, tadpole. That's enough. You're coming with me. This will only hurt.
Okay. What are you doing? Get off of me!
Deidre runs, the guidance counselor.
Get your hands off my student!
This so-called student is now under my jurisdiction.
There's no need to grab her like that, man.
No.
Hey, buddy. Jet, what the hell, man? Well, come with me, man.
McMillan leaves with Jet. Backstage, Truman with a handcuffed Lainey.
Clear her path.
He drags her past the other pageant contestants, who stand along the walls. Lainey turns to a wide-eyed Miss Fallard and an open-mouthed guidance counselor. The other contestants stare at her. The guidance counselor turns and runs back toward the stage. Truman turns Lainey around and leads her down a tunnel. In his truck, Chet sits in the driver's seat, staring at Jet's action figure, which sits on the dashboard.
Stop. Look, what are you looking at me like that for? Look, what you don't understand is I'm the best dad in the world when I'm not there. No, I'm there when they need me. I'm going when they don't. Okay, so you can stop looking at me like that.
He turns the action figure so that it faces away from him, then answers his phone.
Yeah, you got Chet.
Chet, I need you to get down to the train yard now.
Right now?
I need your help.
Truman's got Lainey, but I've got a plan.
That cinder dick! I'll be right there. Hang on, Blammo.
In a car at the rail yard, Lainey.
Oh, thank God.
McMillan and the guidance counselor.
Lainey, are you okay?
I think so.
Where's Truman?
He's looking for Deidre.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Do you have any idea where your sister is?
I don't know.
A police car stops at a railway crossing gate. Inside the vehicle are McMillan, the guidance counselor, Lainey, and Jet. In a container car aboard a train, Deidre lights a match, then sets a shipping box on fire. She watches it burn. She shoves the box off the train onto the road behind the crossing gate.
Oh, what the hell?
It's Deidre. What the hell is she doing?
She's trying to get herself arrested.
Lainey jumps out of the car.
Oh, no, she doesn't. Lainey!
Lainey runs toward the slow-moving train. In the container, Deidre. She turns to Lainey as she enters the container.
Lainey? What the hell are you doing? You can't be here.
Truman's waiting for you at the yard.
I know. I'm not gonna let you take the fall for this, okay? I am the one who decided to rob trains, no. So you gotta hide. All right, I need to get in this box. No! No! Listen!
I knew it was a dumb idea, but we did this together, we stick together, and you don't get to make all the rules.
You're right, but right now I need you to get in that box.
No! You're not getting yourself arrested.
What are you talking about, arrested? I'm not gonna get arrested. What do you think I am, an idiot?
Why are you throwing flaming boxes off the train?
Truman has a record, and I'm gonna provoke him. I'm gonna record him with my phone.
Okay, you're gonna need more proof.
No, I know, but Lainey, you need to stay out of this.
No.
So I need you to get in the box.
Deidre!
What?
It's the one thing I'm really good at. Not being noticed. Give me your phone. Trust me.
The train comes to a stop in the yard. Truman enters the container where Deidre sits on a box.
Well, if it isn't the valedictorian.
Mr. Truman?
Detective Truman! You teenagers think you're so smart. But what you don't know is that I already have your little sister. So why don't you come quietly?
No. I've seen your record. You lay one hand on me, you'll lose your job.
I'm not going to lose my job. I'm going to be a hero for exposing a family of train thieves.
With what proof?
I don't need proof. I just need to make an arrest. Your mom has a record. Your dad has a record. You come from a lineage of screw-ups. No one cares about people like you. If you end up in prison, nobody in this town is going to bat an eye. Why are you smiling? All right, get your hands behind your...
Whoa! She shines a flashlight in his eyes. He falls. She hops out of the container and runs. He chases after her. She climbs up a ladder onto the top of a rail car. He climbs up after her. She runs along the top of the car, then climbs down a ladder at the other end of it. He chases after her. He descends another ladder, reaches the ground before her, and grabs her. He tries to handcuff her to the ladder, Lainey atop the car.
Stop it!
What are you doing out there?
Deidre handcuffs him to the ladder. She looks up at Lainey.
Okay, I'm coming!
Truman struggles. Deidre climbs onto the car and runs toward Lainey.
Oh my God. I got it.
What?
With what proof?
I don't need proof. I just need to make an arrest.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Now we just have to hope that that holds him until his boss gets here.
He unlocks the cuffs as the police car pulls up. McMillan, the guidance counselor, and Jet step out.
What the hell, man?
You Deidre, took away my Deidre. Bargaining chip! But he'll do.
Oh, yo,
put
God,
the git down. Oh, put the git down, man. Put the git down. I'm gonna arrest both of you.
Oh my God.
Give me a reason. Put him down. I said put the git down. Don't make me do this, Truman.
Come on.
Hey,
go
buddy.
Ahead.
Buddy.
Let go of my son.
Chet appears and punches Truman in the face. Lainey and Deidre grin.
Wait a minute. Oh, Dad.
You know who taught me that? Kid Blammo.
He hands Jet the action figure.
You took away my bargaining chip. But he'll do.
Alan, go me!
Oh, put the kit down, man.
Deidre and Chet look on as Lainey plays the recording for a woman in glasses, who then makes her way toward Truman.
Are you trying to make a fool out of me, or are you trying to make a fool out of the company?
Neither. I'm just trying to solve this case. I have evidence.
Just shut up. You're under arrest, and now I've got to figure out a way to keep these people from suing us.
No!
She turns to Deidre.
I can actually think of a couple of things that we need. How is your legal team?
You're a smart girl. Let's talk over here.
Deidre and Truman stare at one another for a moment, then she turns and joins the others. As the sun rises, the social worker rings the Tanner's doorbell as Chet, Deidre, Lainey, and Jet arrive in Chet's truck.
Forget about her. Let me do all talking.
Hi, Gloria.
Don't hi, Gloria, me. Miss Tanner, you left your brother with an unfit guardian.
A man has a right to protect his family regardless of the law.
What is he talking about?
Oh, that's Manifest Destiny.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to take the kids.
No,
sorry,
no.
It's my job.
No.
A car pulls up. Goldie steps out. Goldie wraps her arms around her three children.
Who are you? I'm their mother.
Caption, 3 months later, Lainey looks on as Deidre puts a box into the trunk of her car.
You could help me, you know.
I could, but I don't wanna.
See if I come home for Christmas now.
Don't say that.
Oh, don't cry, Glitter Bunny.
They hug. Goldie steps from the house.
I'll come home, I promise.
Jed approaches.
I have something for you.
He hands her a toy train. Her eyes fill with tears.
Jed.
Goldie approaches and hugs her.
Mom.
You're going to be the first Tanner to go to college, and I love you so much, and I am so proud of you.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Goldie, Lainey, and Jed hold each other as Deidre climbs into her car.
I love you guys.
She drives off. Chet pulls up in his truck.
Hey! Did I miss her?
Goldie throws her hands up, then turns and heads back toward the house.
You look better walking away, sweetheart.
She follows Lainey and Jet inside. She opens the door, turns to Chet, and mouths the words, "Call me." He grins and nods his head. At a railroad crossing gate, Deidre stops her car. A train passes slowly by. Her eyes widen. In one of the boxcars, she sees herself standing at the open car door. The gate rises. She crosses the tracks and drives off into the distance down a country road. Credits appear over footage of freight trains. Directed by Sydney Freeland. Written by Shelby Farrell. Produced by Susan Cartsonis and Nick Lasseri. Executive producers Randy Keehan, Ian Brick, and Ifunanya Maduka. Director of Photography, Gwyn Tra. Production designers, Cindy Chow, Michelle Yu. Editor, Michael Taylor. Associate editor, Jenna Ray Reynolds. Music supervisor, Linda Cohen. Composers, Mark Orton and Joel Pickard. Costume designer, Sierra Wally. Post-production supervisor, Micah Young. Co-producer Nicholas Bertelson. Casting by Matthew Lessel, CSA. Starring Sashir Zamata. Danielle Nicolette. Arturo Castro. David Sullivan. Sharon Lawrence. Brooke Markham. Kenna McEnroe. Lance Gray and Nico Olivier. With Missy Pyle and Tim Blake Nelson, introducing Ashley Murray and Rachel Crow. In the high school gym, the guidance counselor stands before Lainey and the other students who sit in the bleachers.
Welcome back, students. I know you may think that your future looks bleak. You're probably thinking, how could a kid like me in a school like this make anything of myself? You're probably thinking I may as well make meth, or sell my body for money, or start a fight club, or rob a train. But you don't have to do that, because you have the best college and career planning counselor in the entire state. Last year, I got one student into 27 top-tier colleges, and you idiots can do the same thing. With my help, you're all going to college. You're going to college. You're going to college. You're going to college. I'm gonna revamp the hell out of this school. Say it with me. College. 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 College.
She pumps her fists. Lainey grins. Title: Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train. You think I'm incredible. Credits: Cast: Deidre, Ashley Murray. Lainey, Rachel Crowe. Jet, Lance Gray. Goldie, Danielle Nicolette. Carlos, Arturo Castro. Miss Spencer, Sashir Zamata. Claire, Brooke Markham. Mrs. Fowler, Missy Pyle. Gloria, Kinna McEnroe. Jerry, Miko Olivier. Chet, David Sullivan. Veronica, Sharon Lawrence. Victor, Tim Blake Nelson. Copyright 2016 Marigold Pictures Incorporated. All rights reserved. I'm comfortable being alone, and I'm a running soul. I've got this on my own. Yeah, I know that I have got a long way to go, but it's always been just me and my shadow. My shadow, I've been rolling solo. I ain't got no chill, no.
Zoned up, I ain't got no time. One man on me, by my lonely, me, myself, and I. I don't do this for my health. I don't make records to sit on the shelf. Last time I checked, nobody was paying my bills. Nobody got me like myself. The only company I keep is my shadow. Look in the mirror, I tell myself, hello. Gone off the deep end, none of my thoughts ever shallow. I feel like I'm in a league of my own. I wonder if they will miss me when I'm gone.
Soon you'll see, only I've got me. Soon you'll see, I'm capable of anything. Let me be, I'm comfortable being alone. And I'm a running soul. I've got this on my own. Yeah, I know that I have got a long way to go. But it's always been just me and my shadow.
Show me what you got. You're always talking, but you're not playing. It doesn't match your face. Gotta find my way away from this place. Can you take me now? I want it real. Are you afraid of me now? Are you afraid of me now? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel that I can see your soul? Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Do you feel the beat in your heart?
I want it real. Run away with me now. I want it real. Run away with me now.
Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.